Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
So some quick fantasy news for those folks who are listening to the program. The Browns make it official. They have activated Nick Chubb from the IR. He is expected to play tomorrow for the Cleveland Browns. So for me, I am now going to be activating Nick Chubb and putting him in my starting lineup. And joining me on the Western Hotline is my weekly opponent in the Bills Dynasty League. Joe, are you ready to lose to a 2-7 team this week?
When you said fantasy news, I thought you were going to shame me for offering such a low ball deal for Juju Smith-Schuster. So
I already did that behind your back, Joe.
League, so I'll take the loss of the draft.
Yeah, I already talked that crap behind your back to Greg Thompson, who was on last segment. So don't worry. If you want to go back to the radio.com app and listen to the trash talk, it's for at least a solid 5 minutes where you're the topic of conversation. So don't worry. I already got that off my chest, brother. Don't worry. We're good to go. We are good to talk football and only football. So, Joe, it's been an interesting, and I'm going to start with you kind of where I started with Sale earlier this morning. And I'm still not really ready to sort of just get rid of that last game, in particular some of the narratives that surrounded that game and some of the things that frustrated me, Joe. And I got some of these frustrations off with my buddies on the Rock Power Report podcast on Tuesday night, but I'm still not really done complaining about it. And eventually I will. Hopefully it'll be after a Bills win and Bills are 8-2 at a bye week. And then I'll forget about some of the narratives that surrounded the Seahawks rather than the Bills from that Seahawks-Bills matchup last week. And I guess, Joe, for me, what frustrates me is there were 7 offensive coordinators across the league who got one-on-one opportunities to face the Seahawks and did not come up with a game script like Brian Daboll did. And yet, the talk is more about how bad and how leaky that Seattle Seahawks defense is, which, for sure, I mean, they are terrible, maybe the worst defense of all time. But with that being said, no one has passed on the Seahawks like the Bills did, and it's because Brian Daboll committed to it and ran a script that I don't think a lot of offensive coordinators have the A, trust of their head coach to pull, but B, have the confidence in their quarterback to actually pull out and succeed running. So where do you fall on this? It's more about what the Seahawks didn't do rather than what the Bills actually did in that matchup last week.
I think it's easy to maybe make some excuses for Seattle or try to take something away from Josh Allen's performance, because it is against a passing secondary that was averaging 360 yards allowed per game entering the game.
Insane.
But it's not like the Bills just met that average. They destroyed that average. They went far above what Seattle normally gives up. And so I think that says a lot. But also, 44 points, Nate, that's the most ever scored against the Pete Carroll defense while he's been in Seattle. So it's not like the Bills just did what every team did against Seattle. They exceeded it. They buried them like no other team has been able to do. I know it's a bad defense. You expect there to be points and moving the ball and all those types of things, but the manner in which they did it is what's impressive. So it's not like they just continued their season averages. The Bills went far above what they normally give up. And again, 44 points, the most ever that a Pete Carroll defense has ever given up. So, yeah, there's two talking points. It's how bad that Seattle defense is, but you know, I don't think that should damper the success that the Bills had offensively against Seattle.
And where I kind of want to go with you is where I left off with Greg, because I talked a little bit about, Joe, how much. Listen, I have been a big fan almost all along of Brian Daboll, and to be a big fan of Brian Daboll, there was some early you know, rough patches that you might want to, that you had to overlook in order to feel really good about Brian Daboll. But I think I'm at the point where I've overlooked some of the early rough patches, and we're in an area and we're in a place now where I think thriving is a good word to use to describe what we've seen. And I think for me, Joe, for Brian Daboll to be the version of himself that he is right now, a lot has to change ideologically with the head coach. And as much credit as I just want to give Brian Daboll for what he's been able to do, it's really hard for me to get to that place without first acknowledging just how far, Sean McDermott has come in his ability to say, I want to be a team that throws the football to win, like, and not be this ground and pound, play good defense, don't turn the ball over, get turnovers on defense, and just kind of run the clock out on opponents. And we saw a little bit of that come up in that Kansas City game. I'll admit, I think we saw a little bit of that ideology kind of radiate in that game plan. But since, it has felt like, Joe, that we've seen a really big shift from how Sean McDermott believes his football team can win games. And it's hard to find examples of defensive-minded coaches across the league changing this much offensively, coming in with one type of game plan and completely scrapping that and changing to an entirely ideological like way of winning football games.
I think Coach McDermott and Brian Daboll, they've been willing to adapt to the where the team was in its life cycle. You know, I think that in you go back to 2017, the way that McDermott had to approach football games based on what was at his disposal is different than it is now. And so I think Coach McDermott deserves a lot of credit for how he's evolved and been willing to adapt his stylistic approach to coaching football teams based on what he has at his disposal. You know, Nate, when you started and you're talking through that, I kept on thinking about week one last year against the Jets, and the Bills came out and,
yeah,
I mean, what did they throw, 16 passes in a row?
Yep.
It feels like they wanted to be this team last year, but as they continue to do that and the offense faced some adversity and Josh Allen had some boneheaded turnovers, you kind of got the feeling that, well, they're not ready to be that type of team. And I think through that early season stretch right up into that New England game, that's kind of what they flirted with, but they realized that there's just too many mistakes happening here and they're not going to be able to go where they want to go. They wind up adapting, and some people would even say Josh Allen was neutered for a stretch there. Mm. When you think after the New England game where he turned over the ball so many times against the Titans and, you know, really just didn't make any risky decisions at all, you know, you felt like he was neutered a little bit, and he needed one more year, one more offseason to kind of work out the kinks and develop and take another step forward in this game before he could be that guy that goes out there and wins football games because of him throwing the football. So I think it's been just adapting to where the team is in its life cycle through this entire process that we've seen Coach McDermott in Buffalo, and he's finally got a team that has proven it can win this way, and so he's been willing to let it happen.
Joe, talk to me a little bit about that game plan, though, that we saw from Brian Daboll last week, and maybe more so what you think it says about a match, and especially when you take in the context of the game plan that they sort of unveiled against the Patriots the week before. I think the more and more we see of Brian Daboll, his preparation, the game plans he brings per opponent, the more it reminds me of McDaniels and the more it reminds me of Belichick and their ideology in New England, which is we will be whatever the opponent, you know, whatever the defense of the opponent dictates will be the game plan and the identity that we take on that week. And you can look at that as a positive or negative. You know, like, I really want my offense to have an identity and them for them to live in that identity, and good luck trying to stop us. Or you could look at it as, they're a team that almost no matter what the opposing team does, they should be able to find answers within themselves. Like, where do you fall watching them go from the run-heavy team we saw against the Patriots to the pass-heavy team we saw this following week, and what that means for defensive coordinators to have to prepare for this offense?
Smart football, Nate. I mean, I think some of these old-school coaches, they fall into these traps of, this is what we do, and if we execute the way that we know how, we can be successful. You're not going far with that type of philosophy. Not in this day and age where it's about pace and space and mismatches and being creative on offense and knowing where defenses are soft and knowing how to attack them. And what I think this puts a lot of stress on opponents, not only from the perspective that the Bills offense puts maximum stress on their opponents because there's every blade of the grass or the field that you're accountable to defend horizontally and vertically based on all the different skill sets that exist within the Bills offense. but also you need to be self-aware. You need to understand what you do, and what you do is might not matter because the Bills are so willing to adapt. So you have to try to get inside the mind of the Bills and say, okay, based on our tendencies, based on what we do, how are they going to attack us, and be prepared to play a different style of football, because that's what the Bills are going to do. They're not going to look. You can look at the last few games of tape and those types of things, and you can glean and gain understanding, but what you need to do is mostly understand yourself and try to get inside of the mind of Brian Daboll and what he thinks is going to be successful by you, because if you do what you do, the Bills have proven that they're willing to oblige and put on any type of style of attack to be successful, and I think that's good, smart football.
Joe Marino here from Locked On Bills and the Draft Network. I want to talk to you a little bit about the defensive performance we saw last week against the Seattle Seahawks. So it was probably the most surprising thing for me to see in that game, just based on some of the performances of the prior weeks that we saw. We saw a far more aggressive game plan from Leslie Frazier.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I loved how they unveiled the new look AJ Klein from a guy that I thought part of the AJ Klein issue was actually a Leslie Frazier issue. I thought they were deploying AJ Klein in almost all of the wrong ways, and they made a big shift on how they deployed AJ Klein. And instead of sort of fearing him and trying to hide him, they highlighted him in a way that I think best fit his skill set, which I do think is limited, but they were able to find his strengths, where I think over the first couple of weeks where he was really on an island, forced to cover tight ends and running backs, he really became a liability, and they sort of flipped that script on its head last week and put him in better positions. What did you notice from the game plan last week, and do you get the sense that there will be a lot of concepts we saw last week get carried over into this matchup against Kyler Murray and the Cardinals this week?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you saw it too. It's the zone blitzes. That was really a big part of what Buffalo did. And, you know, sending about four guys on most plays, some heavier blitz packages, but being willing to drop some defensive ends into coverage and try to create some one-on-ones in free lanes for blitzers, whether that's AJ Klein or other players. I think Klein blitzed 16 times in that game, and he had blitzed 16 times the previous eight games, or combined all the way up to that point in the season. So a real shift in how he was used, and it was really smart to see that. And I think, you know, we preached continuity all summer long about how the Bills had so much returning, and that was true, but then at the same time, the injuries on defense didn't allow for that continuity to really manifest itself and make a difference. Obviously, with Matt Milano being injured and Tremaine Edmonds being backed up, the secondary, I mean, the Bills haven't had a game yet where they've had Norman Wallace and White available at their disposal. We've seen Micah Hyde miss a game. And then the defensive line rotation. I mean, that was the one part of the team that was new this year. And we saw that it took some time to kind of get the right combinations figured out. And so, you know, as much as the Bills had a lot of continuity going into the year, it took time this year based on circumstances, whether those were injuries or getting familiar with the defensive line talent, to kind of play their best football. And I think we're starting to see that over the last three games. I think it goes back to the Jets game. I think the Patriots game was another a reasonably solid defensive performance. And then, of course, you know, what they were able to do against Seattle. Now, you had asked if the there's carryover in how you play Arizona versus Seattle defensively. And I think, well, you know, look, Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson are both short, athletic quarterbacks. I think they're stylistically very different in how they like to play the game. I think Russell Wilson is more willing to keep his eyes down the field and be stay a passer for as long as he possibly can, where Kyler is a guy that wants to invite chaos, and he wants those bullets flying at him and then use his twitch and elusiveness to create space and really challenge your ability to be leveraged with your coverage drops and with your pass rush lane. So I think you have to be more disciplined. I think you have to be less blitz-heavy against Kyler. Because I think he is that just another level of athlete that's far more willing to use his athleticism than a Russell Wilson will be. So I think it's the Bills have to be careful to not go into this game thinking, yeah, what we did against Russell Wilson applies to Kyler Murray and we're good. I think that this is a game plan that should be different in a lot of ways, featuring a lot of zone coverage, a lot of organic pass rush, and very disciplined coverage drops and disciplined pass rush.
So before I ask you about the Miami Dolphins, which is, I'm going to kind of end your interview with, I wanted to ask you about who you believe becomes the most important player for success against Kyler Murray tomorrow defensively for the Bills. I think there's a good argument to be made about Jerry Hughes, about Mario Addison, but the guy that I think I'm looking at, based on the way I think they'll deploy their pass rushers in this game, is I think the smartest way to go about defending Kyler Murray is disguising your spy looks. I think obviously that more than likely means Tremaine Edmonds is going to get a bulk of those spy opportunities. But I think a sneaky way to get good looks and to get good spy looks against and disguise spy looks against Kyler Murray, I think the most important player defensively for the Bills this week and how they could potentially get a win against this Kyler Murray-led offense starts with Ed Oliver. And I wonder what you think about that and who you think maybe becomes the most important single player in this matchup to try to stop and defend this Arizona Cardinals offense.
Well, I think it's really important to not create levels within your defense. Pass rushers got to stay in their pass rush lane. Zone coverage defenders have to be leveraged with their technique and understand what the leverage of the defense is intended to do. And so I do think disguising your spy matters, but I'll go a different direction. I think it's probably Jordan Poyer, who is the type of player that I think can come down to the box and really hold his own, but is a short tackler, which is, you know, the Bills haven't been a great tackling defense for 3 years now, and Jordan Poyer has been kind of that exception, the guy that actually doesn't whiff very often. And so when you think about a guy that's disciplined with how he plays under control and takes good angles and comes to balance, I might find opportunities to get him close to the line of scrimmage and disguise him as your spy. And I know that you make some concessions in coverage, deeper coverage when you do that, but you know, it's kind of a pick your poison thing because, you know, Kyler, he can chuck it deep, but he can also take off and make you pay, you know, with his legs. I think he has some kind of ridiculous 34 rushes for over, or 34 rushes for a first down and 23 rushes for over 10 yards. So you got to account for that. And I think Jordan Poyer is that guy that I kind of identify as the one that I wouldn't mind seeing playing close to the line of scrimmage and being used in the spiral.
So I'm not done trying to pry Myles Gaskin away from you in fantasy, and that's another conversation we'll have before the end of the day, Joe. But I am interested on if I gave you an opportunity to buy stock right now before it booms in the Miami Dolphins, where do you fall on this football team? Because I feel like I'm not as high as other people are on the Miami Dolphins, and I think a part of that is because I felt from January on that the Dolphins were going to be the second-best team in this division. So what they're doing right now hasn't surprised me, and maybe that's why I'm not as high as it seems like some of the national media are and others around the league are on what this Dolphins team has been able to do and some of the games they've been able to win and how they've won with Tua finally coming back and seeing what we saw from him last week. What do you make of this Dolphins team, and would you buy the stock right now at a low stock price knowing that it might yield some nice dividends later on?
Well, I mean, I had Miami at 8-8 this year. That was my expectation for them. And you know, you think about this team last year, they were horrible in terms of talent, but Coach Flores led them to a winning record over their last nine games, you know, 5-4 to finish out the year. And they go into this year with a much better roster, obviously their new direction at quarterback and Tua Tagovailoa. And so, you know, they start off the season, 1-3. They get to 3-3, and you ask yourself, well, they beat the Jaguars, the 49ers when everyone was injured, and then the New York Jets. And so it's hard to put a whole lot of stock in that. And then they have a very fluky win over the Rams where they had two defensive touchdowns and a special teams touchdown and got outgained massively, but just had so much luck on their side that they were able to win that game. And then I think they had luck on their side against Arizona as well. So they find themselves 5-3. I don't think the way that they're winning is sustainable, but you look at this schedule, Nate. I mean, it's the Chargers, Broncos, Jets, Bengals. That's their next four games. I mean, I don't think it's reasonable to expect the Miami Dolphins to win all four of those and have an eight-game winning streak, but they're probably going to be favored in all of them, you know? And so they feel like the 2017 Bills in a lot of ways, where I think they could be scrappy and maybe get outplayed but win because of their schedule a little bit. And with seven seeds in the playoffs, I think they got a good chance of being the seventh seed, especially because they do have that head-to-head matchup coming up against the Raiders. So I think they're in good shape. I don't think they're an easy out, but I also think that there's some questions based on who they beat those first three games and then the manner in which they won the last two. But I think we can all agree that Coach Flores is terrific. Tua was unbelievably impressive last week. I actually watched the All-22 of Tua last night and was really blown away with some of his decisions and accuracy and throws to all levels of the field and what he was able to do with his legs at key moments. I mean, there's a lot of good things happening in South Beach. They've got two first-round picks coming up, two second-round picks, decent amount of cap space. So it's only a matter of time before they're really, really making noise here in the AFC.
All right, brother. Appreciate you as always. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday in college football. Lots of good matchups today, so enjoy that, and obviously tomorrow. And you and I will be in short touch. We've got I think it's turning into an annual mid-season podcast over at Locked On Bills. So make sure you kind of keep locked on to both mine and Joe's Twitter feeds. I'm sure we'll be promoting that as the week goes on. So Joe, appreciate you, brother. Thanks as always for the insight and a lot of the storylines going into this game. And look forward to the weekend, man.
Thanks for having me, Nate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.